Ezekiel chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 12. And the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, and that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and by sword, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." Now, if you look at this tonight, we see Ezekiel getting the word of God, and God's just speaking to him, and he's telling him some things that need to be dealt with. And now, if you go back to the first of the chapter, he was dealing with those elders of Israel, who was misleading the people. They wasn't telling them truth, and when you don't tell the truth, you're not giving them that help they need, but you become a stumbling block. I want to say, in the world we live in today, if there's ever a time that we need truth, it's in the air we live. If we're not passing out truth, we're a stumbling block for the Lord. But I want to say there's a way today that if we just trust the Lord and just tell it right, praise God, God will bless it. And He'll heal our land. He'll save our people. I think that's the goal tonight, to get a healing in the hearts and minds of people. If we could ever get the people of this old world, right mind, one mind and one accord, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, then the world would fix itself. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, He would make it right one more time. And we can see Him as He tells these old prophets, these old men of God. He said, "Hey, you've deceived the house of Israel. You've told them things that ain't right, and you've even introduced to them strange gods." He said, "You've showed them idols." He said, "You know that ain't right." And He said, "Because that, I'm going to have to cut them off." But we see the Lord as He speaks to old Ezekiel again, and He begins to bring her down right to where we live. And He said, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressing grievously." I wonder tonight how much we've grieved the Lord. I wonder tonight how much these United States of America, a place that's supposed to be established upon the Word of God and the things of God and the freedom in God. That's how come we're free. That's why we have liberty tonight, because liberty is in Christ Jesus, and outside of Him, you have no liberty, you have no peace, you have no place of hope, you have that no sanctity in your life. But praise God, with Jesus as your Lord, you have that safe place that you can run to, that safe place you can go to receive help. And oh, what a blessing it is when you know the Lord and know that He's on your side, and He's there to help you, and He's there to pass out His blessings, and He's there to restore you when you need restored, when He's there to show you how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. But He said, "Their trespasses, those trespasses were grievously." He said, "They've again sinned when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. Then will I stretch out my hand upon it." Now listen to this. "And will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon the land, and will cut off man and beast from it." He said, "A land that forgets me, A land that forgets God. A land that turns its back on God. A land that don't believe the word of God. He said, I'll break those stems off of your food. Amen. Without the stem, it won't grow. Without the stem, there'll be no sustenance in the land. He said, if you want to turn away from me, he said, I'll let your crops be destroyed. I'll not let you get any sustenance. A famine will come upon the land to consume you away. Amen. What happens to a land that forgets God? It becomes a land of desolation. Amen. It comes a land that God would move his hand from. And then we have ourselves caught up in a mess. You say, well, preacher, we'd never get in that kind of a shape. I beg your pardon. In case you didn't notice, this very day in Asheville, North Carolina, people are making a mockery of God. They're showing up there, women topless, saying we don't need to put on no clothes. There's no shame in going around showing our bodies to the lost in the dying world. There's no shame in doing that. That God said for us not to do. We're living in a bad time. We're living in a wicked state. When they say, listen, it's okay to do that God says is wrong. Amen. And then they said, and then they're telling the men, said, if the men want to come, it was in the paper. Said, if the men want to come, you can come without your shirt, but you got to wear a bra or a bikini top. You want me to tell you what that is? That's just downright vileness and wickedness. Amen. It's sin against God. It's people being turned over to a reprobate mind to do those things. That's not convenient. Amen. What does it mean to do things that's not convenient? It means that when it's convenient to love God and love and follow God and listen to His Word, we choose to do that. That's not convenient. That's contrary to His Word. Amen. That can't help us. That can't encourage us. That can't give us what we need in this late hour. But God says, I want to say this. God said we're supposed to keep our clothes on. Amen. God specifically tells us to keep our clothes on. Amen. He started it way back in the garden. Amen. And these women that's over there, they get taking off their clothes and saying it's all right. Well, I want to say in authority of God, it's not all right, youngins. Young ladies, it's not all right. You go around exposing your body. Amen. It's an abomination before God. It makes Him sick. Amen. Well, we got to stay dressed. And I'm not just talking to ladies. I talk to you men too. Amen. We got to keep our clothes on. The Bible said, come out from among the world and be ye separate. We can't go out there and look like them and act like them and say that we're separate because we're not in the eyes of God. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Amen. This is going to get better. Praise God. God said it. We need to keep our clothes on. Amen. They say, well, you know, as long as we got the bottom covered, we're all right. That's what they're saying. That's what our law in North Carolina says. As long as the bottom part covered, it's all right. Well, I disagree because God does. Hey, what do you mean? Turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Let me show you. Let me give you this tonight. He said, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, talking about the fall in the garden. See, that before the fall, before sin came in the world, Adam and Eve were both naked and they walked around and they done because they didn't know nothing about it. They were in innocence. Amen? They didn't have this old sinful nature that we got now. I want to say now you expose your body and people's are looking. Amen? That's what they do because that's what the old sinful flesh lusts. Amen. That's why we're supposed to keep ourselves covered up. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it said, when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. Amen. From the very time that they sinned against God, the first time they said, I will, no matter what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that very minute they was brought into consciousness, they knew that they were naked. And they said, well, what are we going to do about it now? And he said, well, maybe we can just manufacture us some righteousness. Maybe we can put on something to make us right. So listen to what this says. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. Covered the lower half. Amen? That's what an apron does. It covers the lower half. They said, we're naked, so we're gonna fabricate some righteousness, trying to get back where it needs to be, and we'll cover the lower half. Look, what did God say? God said, it ain't good enough. In chapter 3 and verse 21, God said this. He said, Adam also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Amen. He made them a coat, one that covered from the top to the bottom. Glory be to God. He had to sacrifice. The blood had to be shed for that coat to be. Now, it's a type of the Christ, the righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, it's also a type of a child of God covering ourselves before a dark and a dismal world, before a sin-cursed world. Amen. It's keeping ourselves covered up. Amen. Hey, praise God. You say, well, preacher, I do it when I keep myself covered up all the time, do we? We go around with these short shorts and these muscle shirts showing off what we got or what we think we got. Amen. Men and women both. Hey, praise God. We need to cover ourselves up. If you got it, you don't have to show it. And if you ain't got it, we don't want to see it anyway. Amen. Praise God. You need to keep ourselves chaste before Holy God. We're to be a separate people. God said, I can't bless you if you don't listen to me. And I can't bless you. I can't help you if you won't be separate. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all right. I like this. Amen. It's straight from the throne of grace. God said, we got to cover ourselves up. You know why I'm preaching this tonight? Because I've had people tell me this week, it's okay. What they're doing, there ain't a thing wrong with what they're doing. That the body is something that God gives us, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of them. Amen. We're all, we've all got bodies, fat and skinny and tall and thin. Praise God, every one of us got one. But we don't need to see it naked. We need to keep it covered up. And God said the very same thing when he killed an animal and he covered them up from top to bottom. He said, be ye covered. Amen. Praise the Lord. He meant so much more than ever. The priest to go up to the temple to make an offering. And he said they got need to be covered up. Now that being covered up meant that from the bottom of your neck to the middle of the back of your knee. He said anything between there that's a showing is nakedness in the eyes of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. No, nobody wants to see none of that. God don't want to see it. He said, let's just cover it up. I don't care what the world says. I don't care if the world says it's all right. You know who says it's all right? A bunch of perverts out there that's wanting to see what you got. Amen? Praise God, I tell you tonight, there's a God of glory. He said, I don't want to see it. He said, I want to see you different and peculiar. I want to see you looking right, dressing right, acting right, talking right, and living right for a holy God. He said, be ye holy because I am holy. Amen? God don't go around showing his nakedness. Amen? God stays covered up. He told the priest, he told Aaron, he said, listen, when you and your sons get ready to go up, he said, when you make up that altar of sacrifice, he said, don't you do it with steps. He said, you make sure you keep it at ground level. Because when you've got your little thing on the bottom, he said, I don't want people to be able to see your legs. Amen. He said, I want you to stay covered. He said, and then he goes on over and let me share it with you. Let's just take a minute tonight and let's look at these. I've done it before. We can show you again right quickly. Let me find it. Exodus chapter 28, I believe it is. If I can find it right quick, mark it in your Bible. Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. He was concerned about it. He said, I want you to make them linen breeches. Amen? To go under their priestly garment. He said, I want you to make them some linen breeches. He was even concerned about comfort. If you look over, hey, look here, it says that they were made out of wool, they'd be itchy. He said, make them out of linen. Glory to God. You think God don't love you? He didn't make you wear woolen underwear. Praise God. He said you could have linen underwear. Bless his name. He said, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. And now listen to this. What is nakedness? We've done this before. Let's do it again. He said, from the loins even to the thighs, they shall reach. He said, from the loins. That's from the bottom. Amen. From the loin, pork loin, from the loins, from down to the back of the middle of your knee. If it's exposed, God said, in the eyes of God, you're standing there naked. And we ain't a bit afraid today to walk around in the world. You see them all. You see all kinds of these youngins up there in the mall in their little mini skirts. Praise God, they get in their little sports outfits. And what kind of mom and daddy, I don't know, would let their youngin get out there, and every time they jump up in the air, these old perverts over there are looking at their child's rear end. Amen. Now I'm preaching it right. God says we're to be a separate people. Come out from among them, praise God. Be a little bit different. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this way? Because I want a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. I want a stirring of God in this land. I want a stirring of God in this holler. I want a stirring of God in this valley. And we can't have it till we get right with God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We need to be able to go and tell them. Say, wait. When they say, why do you do that? It says, because I won't be pleasing to my Lord. I don't want to disgrace Him. He said, well, preacher, it don't bother me none. You're probably one of them perverts. Amen? Amen? It bothers me. I see little old girls running around and all over with these little old short shorts and these little old shirts are showing everything they got. These little old boys are going around with their shirts gaped open plumb down to here. Their big old dog chain around their neck. Huh? That ain't attractive. Amen. That's a disgrace. You know who you look like? You look like the world. God says you come out from the world and be you separate. A people of God, a people that God desires to help. He said, keep yourself covered up. Amen. Now I know you ladies have a hard time. My wife has a hard time. You can't hardly find blouses and shirts and skirts and stuff that'll cover you up. Amen. What you may have to do is get together, start you as a sewing bee. Make your own. That's what Samantha said she's going to do. Said she's just going to start making her own skirt. Said, I can't find none I like. They're not long enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. Start making your own. Glory to God. Hey, you start making your own. You start cutting these boutiques out. And sooner or later, they'll get the hint. They say, wait a minute. If we don't get some longer stuff, we're losing all our customers. Praise God. What if all God's people didn't buy that filthy mess? But you know what? But you know what? A lot of times what we'll do, we won't buy it for us, but we'll put our youngins in it. Put our youngins in these little skimpy things, send them off to school. And then we'll say, church, please pray for my youngin down there at the schoolhouse. Boy, I just sent them into the very pits of hell. And you dressed them like a demon of hell itself. Hey, man, you give it. Hey, they're just like bait. They're just like bait for the devil.
Amen.
Amen. We dress them just like bait for the devil and send them out there. And say, Lord, help them if you can. Amen. Well, I wonder how he's going to hold mom and daddy accountable when they have to stand before him. He said, why'd you dress that little old young? Why'd you allow her to go out like that? And you young ladies, you listen to me. Don't you dress one way when you leave the house and go down to the schoolhouse and change your attire. You think I don't know that goes on? Amen. I know what happens. Mom and daddy put you in good Christian-like clothes. You go down to the church, to the schoolhouse. You go in the bathroom first thing. You change that and put on some filthy, something that a whore wouldn't wear. Amen. Amen. We need to stay chasing the Lord no matter where we are. If mom and daddy dress you and they cover you up, you ought to say praise the Lord for mom and daddy and live like the child of God that you claim to be. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I don't enjoy preaching like this, but praise God, we need it. Yeah. There's a world out here that's trying to devour us, youngins. It's trying to destroy our church. It's trying to tear us down from the inside out. But praise God, where the truth is, God will set us free from the wickedness of sin and the iniquity thereof, and He'll deliver us to a holy place where we can live and be pleasing to a holy God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we got things that we got to do in this whole world to try to get there. Amen. We got to keep ourselves covered up. We got to make some decisions that we're going to live right. Now Ezekiel over here in chapter 14 brings it on down. And he said, they stream in. He said, though these three men, he's talking about Noah and Daniel and Job, were in it. They're talking about that world and everything imploding around them, kind of like us today, right? They're just like us. The world all around us is crumbling down. The world all around us has become vile and wicked. It's become full of all kind of iniquity. And it seems like it's just trying to overthrow us, to overcome us. But he said, hey, listen. He said, just like these men, he said, they were in it. These three men, Noah and Daniel and Job. Now, boy, don't you know this was an honor for an old Daniel? I had never caught that. I knew it, but I hadn't caught it the other day. I was reading in the old Scofield Bible. Says that old Ezekiel was writing about Daniel, and Daniel and Ezekiel lived in the same day. Amen. Praise God, that old prophet of God, he said, there's a man right here among us. He said, there's old Noah and there's old Job, but right in between them, he put old Daniel. He said, there's a prophet, there's a man of God who ain't afraid to stand for what's right. Amen. Why? Because he was a man of God. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Let me just show you. Ezekiel, Daniel, next book. How did Daniel stand? How did Daniel get put on this list? How was Daniel able to be put on the list of mighty men? Men of God, men of renown, men that would stand up even during the trials and tribulations that have to face. How could Daniel get put on this list? I mean, you think, well, that was men that should be hereafter or should be before that he was writing about. But he's writing about old Daniel because Daniel was a man of God and he was a man of faith. Why? Because the Bible says that Daniel had purposed in his heart. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, hey, Daniel's taken into Babylon. You remember the story? Daniel's taken into Babylon, and he's there in Babylon. Praise God. And he comes before the eunuch that's taking care of him, and he said, I don't want the king's meat. He said, I don't want a portion of his meat. Listen to what it says, verse 8. He said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with 99.9% of church people? We haven't purposed in our heart that we won't defile ourselves with this world. We've purposed in our heart, if we ever purpose in our heart, that we're going to live right and do right and be pleasing to a holy God and live in righteousness according to Him, His righteousness. What's right according to God? He said, if we ever purpose that in our heart, we'll be a different people. Amen. We won't continue to live like we've been living. Amen. Praise God. He'll separate us. You say, well, preacher, we do a little this and we do a little that. Let me tell you, if we do that that's right in the eyes of God, God will bless us and He'll help us. Amen. That's what He's wanting to do. But we got to do like Daniel. We got a purpose in His heart. Not to defile ourselves. Now, I know what you say, and I know two-thirds of you, what you say now. You say, well, preacher, it ain't me. It's the world. It's the world makes me like this. I don't want to do the things I do. Huh? But it's the world that makes me do it, preacher. Kind of like it'll say, the devil made me do it. Yeah, it did. Amen. And the devil ain't nowhere near you. Amen. Hey, he's not omnipresent. The devil can't be everywhere all the time, but God can. I wonder why the devil defeats you. If the devil may do it, why does the devil defeat you all the time and God can't ever get you conviction where you do right? He's there with you all the time, and the devil, he just passes through. Amen. Amen or oh me. Praise the Lord. God's there to help you. They said he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Why did he defile himself? With a portion of the king's meat. Now, a portion of the king's meat, that's a type of worldly things. Amen. That's the type of what you feed this old body with in the world. Amen. It's the type of what you get from the world, how you what you're nourishing yourself on from the world, what the world has to feed you. And I mean, you know what we're doing? We're taking it in just by big old platefuls. Amen. We're just gorging ourselves on the world and wonder why in the world we can't get on with God. Why in the world our people ain't being saved? Why we don't have a spirit of revival down in our souls? Because we're feeding off the world. Amen. Ain't nothing spiritual in it. Praise God. We need the Lord. We need the power of God. But he said, I'm not going to... He made a decision not to defile himself with the king's meat. He didn't want the worldly food. Amen. He said, I'm not going to eat from that king's table. I'm going to eat from my Father's table. Amen. I'm going to be filled with a banquet that he has for me. Amen. He said, I'm not going to eat from king's table. He said, nor with the wine which he drank. Amen. He said, hey, that wine, that's a type of joy. He said, I'm not even going to partake in the things they call joy in this world. Amen. He said, that wine, that type of joy. He said, I'm not even going to partake of the joy that the world's got to give me. He said, there's better joy in that. He said, I've done figured out that there's a hallelujah time over in the God's house. There's a hallelujah time over in glory. And I sever now and then. Now at the Lord's house, you can get hooked up just right. And you partake in that hallelujah time.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can just praise the Lord and get happy in Jesus. That gladness that we have, that hope that we have, that encouragement that we have. Even when it's raining, the difficulties all around us, praise God, they still hope in the Lord. But Daniel purposed it in his heart, youngins, that he wouldn't defile himself with the world, and he wouldn't defile himself with the world's joy. Now, I ain't got nothing against having fun. Now, I'll go out with you and eat with about every one of you time and again, and praise God, we have a good time. Amen. We have a good time in the Lord. We have good, clean fun. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. There's joy in the Lord. That's the way He designed it to be. But I don't have to go partake the wickedness of the world to get that joy. I don't have to go do the things that's ungodly to get that joy. God gives me that joy and that peace through the church of God, through the living God, through my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We can get together and just have a good time in the Lord. Why? Because it's because we've got a common denominator between us. I want to say, old Daniel and his buddies, they had a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a common denominator between them, and it was the God of glory. And they said in their hearts that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, and that they wouldn't partake of the king's joy. But listen to what he says. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And he told this eunuch, and he found favor and tender love in the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto him, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. He said, Daniel, if I let you do what you want to do, he said, you're going to start looking puny and poor, and praise God, a king's going to take my head off because it's my responsibility to take care of you. But listen to what old Daniel said. But then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Mahaniel, Mishael, and Azariah, approve thy servants, I beseech thee. He said, let me just prove it to you. He said, 10 days. And then let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. He said, just give us some beans and water. Praise be to God. And we're just going to trust the Lord. He said, you give us beans and water. And praise God, in 10 days, if we don't look just as good as the rest of them, we'll go about your plan. But he said, just prove us 10 days and see what God can do. Amen. I got to thinking about this evening. What if we just give God 10 days? What if we give God 10 days? Say, God, I'm just going to do the best I can for you for 10 days. Let's just see what you can do in me. Amen. Here I am, Lord, for 10 days. I'm just going to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. We ought to do it for all eternity because Jesus died for us that we might be saved. But he said, hey, just 10 days. He said, 10 days, just do it 10 days. And see what God would do. I wonder what God would do in this place if we just wholeheartedly sold out to God for 10 days. He said, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to look right. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to talk right. I'm going to live right. And praise God, when I feel like screaming and pulling my hair out, I'm just going to praise God. Amen. I wonder what happened to us. I wonder how things around us would begin to change. I wonder how your atmosphere would begin to change. You say, well, preacher, you don't know my job. You don't know where I go to school. You don't know. No, but God does. But you just get rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. You give Him total control of yourself. Offer up yourself to the Lord. Sacrificially say, Lord, here I am. After all, it's our reasonable service. Amen. And see what God could do. I wonder what God do in this place. I wonder what God do in this place if we just come bow and face and say, Lord, here I am for 10 days. Lord, I'm going to sanctify myself to Thee. I'm going to leave the television off and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray 3 times a day. Lord, I'm going to make time to pray 3 times a day. Lord, I'm going to sanctify myself. And praise God, I might even take time to just fast just a little bit. I don't think we know anything about fasting, but the Bible says, hey, if we fast and pray, there's some demons that was in this little old boy. And the disciples said, Lord, why can't we cast him out? He said, because that kind only know fasting and praying. That's a little sacrifice on our part. He said, you got to sacrifice. You said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about instead of eating your dinner, praise God, just go out and talk to the Lord for 30 minutes. Amen. Talk to the Lord for 30 minutes. Pray and agonize over some lost loved ones or maybe a close relationship with the Lord. Whatever you may need. Sacrifice that time. Keep yourself from that meal. Lord knows most of us could use skip a meal or two. Amen. Wouldn't hurt us at all. But fast just a little bit and pray. Seek God's face. I wonder if we could do that for 10 days. Like old Daniel. What would happen? What would happen in this place? What would happen in this valley? Amen. If we just sacrificed for 10 days. For 10 days. Say, Lord, here I am. Well, I got a better for it. What if we done it for 30 days? What if we done it for 30 days? What if we started tonight and went for 30 days? I wonder what kind of... That'd be right up the night before a revival. I wonder what God would do during revival. Huh? I wonder what God would do for us right here during revival if we just for 30 days, we said start, mark our calendar tonight and said for 30 days, Lord, I'm going to live for you just lock, stock, and barrel, both barrels. I'm going to live for you with everything in me, every fiber, ever being. I'm going to live for you, Lord. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would take place. I wonder how our lives would change. You say, well, preacher, I've been doing the best I can. That ain't good enough because you can do better. We all have room to improve. We can all pull up closer to God. Amen? You see, you know why we struggle so much? Because we're not as close as we need to be. If we purpose in our heart that we're going to not defile ourselves, I wonder what would happen. I wonder if we left that TV off for a month. I wonder if we prayed for a month instead of watch TV. I wonder if we read our Bible for a month instead of watch TV. I wonder if we read our Bible to our children for a month instead of letting them watch TV. I wonder how our homes would change. I wonder how the atmosphere around us would change. I wonder how our mindset would change. So Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself with the world. Even though he was in the land, he said they were in it. He said they couldn't save nobody but themselves. That's the same way with me and you today. You can't save somebody else. Only one you can hope to get out of here with is yourself. Amen? Grandma and Grandpa can't save you. Grandma and Grandpa, you say, well, my mom and my papa was a godly man. Praise the Lord for godly papa. But what about you? Well, Mama, she's a praying woman. Well, praise the Lord for Mama. But what about us? Amen? We need to be sanctified, Lord. We need to be set aside. Because he said there's some things are coming on this world. He said things is going to pass through. He said when a land is trespassed so grievously as our land is trespassed. He said there's some things that's going to come to pass if we don't make it right. And he said there's some men that come through these things. In Daniel chapter 14, he said they were in it. Amen. Noah and Daniel and Job. And he said, though these three men, in verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Then listen to this. He says, then I will bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Why? Because these men had sanctified and set themselves aside for the glory of God. Listen, you can almost see it as the top of the rapture. Folks have set themselves aside for the glory of God. And when he comes and the pestilence of this world comes, praise God, we're going to go be with Jesus. Amen. We're going to go be with the Lord. Praise God. But that's why we need to be ready now. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. The Lord Jesus Christ. We need to clean ourselves up. Purify ourselves, our bodies, our minds. Amen. We've been so saturated with... Why do you think there's so much killing and maiming in the world today? Because we see it all the time. It's up there on the big screen. Oh, man, look at that. Oh, look at the blood flying. Goodness, blowed his head. Oh, man. And we've seen it so much, it don't even bother us no more. Man, gore don't even affect us no more. It's just normal. Well, I won't say it shouldn't be normal. We've let down on the Lord. We've let our guard down. We're supposed to be some watchmen on the walls. Why ain't we screaming? That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm saying, young'uns, watch out. It's trying to devour us. It's trying to destroy us. The world's trying to come in. It's trying to penetrate the church. They said this week, they had that bell something or other over at Asheville a few weeks ago. Yeah, they had that over a few weeks ago, and there were some preachers are preaching. Now, I don't know who they were. I don't know how they preached. I wasn't there. I don't go. But they was preaching. Now, this week, they had a big petition, getting a petition together. They want to make them to preach without the loudspeakers and the microphones and stuff. They don't want to have to hear them. But over on the other side, they got their rock bands are going, boom, boom, boom. And they crank them just as loud as they want to crank them. I mean, they rattle your windows. But that's okay. But it's not okay for God's people to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with Asheville. There's something wrong with the United States of America. We're in a desperate strait. Lord said He's going to send a pestilence in this land. Verse 19, He said, I'll pour out my fury upon it in blood and cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live. Now you get that? That's what God said. He said all down through, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall but deliver their own souls. How? By their righteousness. By doing right in the eyes of God. How are you going to deliver your own soul? By doing right in the eyes of God. I'm scared for the church today. I'm scared for church people. Because people that come in them doors and praise God and raise their hand and go out there and get naked and live like the devil, live like the world. I'm afraid they've never got it. You know what they've got? They've got a moment of something stirring up in their flesh. It's what they've got. And they come every now and then, and they get that stirring up again, and they're good to go for 3 or 4 months, and they go right back in the world. Some people come get a fix every week, but they'll go right back in the world and live just like the world does. I've got boys down there at work that claim to be saved, and a big old black boy said, boy, he was saved, said he knowed he was saved, said his grandmother was a godly woman. But you ought to hear him talk. Every now and then you hear him talk, and it'd make a sailor blush. Where's the separation? Where's the difference? I want to say, young'uns, today, if we're a child of God, we ought to be separate. We ought to be different. Amen? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be a separate people. Look different, talk different, act different. Amen? Smell different. Praise God. If you get to be a child of God, you'll clean up. God will clean you up from the inside out. He'll make you that fit for His kingdom. Because He said in His kingdom, there'd be nothing that defiles. Amen? Nothing that defiles. But what about us, young'uns? We're fixing to have revival in about 30 days. 30 days from tonight, we'll be getting ready to go in revival on Monday night. But boy, I tell you, I'd like to start right now. I'd like to challenge you tonight. For 30 days, let's just dedicate ourselves to the Lord for 30 days. Make sacrifices and pray and seek His face for 30 days. How many be willing to do that with me? Be honest. If you ain't going to do it, don't raise your hand. Be honest. Just say, I'd be willing to do that. Just dedicate myself to the Lord for 30 days. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's try it and see. See what God can do. That old eunuch said, Daniel said, in 10 days, said, son, you're going to be looking pitiful. He said, no. He said, I've got the Lord on my side. He said, I won't go and defile myself with the world and what King's got for joy. He said, I'll just take what God's got. He said, I'll take what God's got and I'll just trust in Him. And he said, after 10 days, said Daniel and his three buddies, said their outward look, they were fatter and shinier and better looking, praise God, than all the other ones that had come out of Jerusalem. Why? Because they was trusting. You want to look good to the world? I want to say, listen, you don't need all these trinkets and bling bling to make you look good. Amen. Praise God. You don't need all the war paint stuff, and I ain't got nothing wrong with that. If you ever old barn needs a little paint. But I tell you what, when you get God all over it on the inside, He'll shine on you on the outside, praise God, and it's just something glorious to behold. Amen. But I would, if God would be our help, just sanctify ourselves for 30 days. For the next 30 days from today, say, well, I'm just going to sell out for the Lord. I'm going to allow the Lord to have preeminence in my life like it's supposed to be. Amen. And I tell you what we need to do. We need to pray one for another. Probably 2/3 of the people in the church raised their hands and said they would do that. They would try that. All I'm asking is that you try. Will you do perfect? No, I'm not. You won't do perfect. You'll mess up. You'll have shortfalls. You'll slip up. But if we'll try with all our might to do right, God will help us. And we'll pray one for another that God will help us to do right, that we might have a revival that would be pleasing to Him, that will win souls in this valley. That's what it's about. It's about getting them in for the gathering to go home.